The Coram Deo Church community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to engaging an ever-changing culture. We hope this message spurs you towards spiritual formation and mission and helps you delight in Christ alone. Thanks for listening.
The scripture reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 21. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, everyone. If you don't know me, my name is Mike Kresnick, and I want to welcome you to the Birch Street Chapel. This is fun, isn't it? This summer, we've been in the book of Psalms, and we've been preaching through various psalms. A few weeks ago, we started the series, Behold Your God, with Psalm 34. We looked at how we can behold God as our deliverer. Then we did Psalm 16, where we saw God as our greatest good. He's the greatest compared to anything ever made that ever was. And then last week, Psalm 18, Justin preached to us how God is our warrior. He defends us. He fights for us. And he even equips us and enables us to fight against sin in our lives. And this morning, we're in Psalm 145. You just heard it read. And we're looking at how God is beckoning us to see him as our king. He's calling us to look to him as our king. And this is kind of ironic because this weekend, we're celebrating our independence from the king, right? The king of England. He wanted to tax us. He wanted to rule us with his British laws. And we said, no way! We will revolt. We will not submit to you, king. Our laws are better. Our elected officials are better. They will fix things and make things right. Wrong. We find that our elected officials are just like the oppressive kings. They're power hungry. They're finite people. They're corrupt. And if they're not corrupt individually, they're part of a corrupt system that raises up the lofty and oppresses the lowly. We don't want to submit to those leaders either, do we? So we rant about them on Facebook, read blog posts about them, or we just vote them out of office. But what about the presidential candidates this term? We don't want to submit to them either. You see, this isn't just a Washington, D.C. problem. This is something that resides in us. We have a submission problem. Why do we bristle when our pastors assertively speak into our lives? Or why is it hard for us to submit to a boss we don't like? When I was in college, I worked at a grocery store my dad managed, and he was a great boss to work for. He was firm, he ran a profitable store, and but with his employees, he was generous and gracious and kind to us as employees. If you speak to any of his employees now, they talk about how kind my dad was. But my dad's bosses didn't see it the same way. I remember distinctly them coming into the store one day, and at the front of the store, they had a conversation with my dad and fired him right on the spot. I had to watch my dad walk out of that store and watch this new guy come in and try to tell me what to do. So what I did is I rebelled in every way I knew how. First thing is I stopped shaving, obviously. I did. I quit shaving. I untucked my shirt. I said, I'm not going to tuck in my shirt for this guy. I started showing up late to my shifts, trying to leave early. My boss didn't think I was going to last very long, my new boss. And so I quit before he could fire me. Stuck it to him. Why was it so hard for me to submit to my new boss? I can list all of the excuses, but the reality is it was easy to submit to my dad. I agreed with how my dad did things, but when things started going against my way, submission wasn't fun anymore. Don't we do this with God? We like God when he doesn't confront our sin. We like reading about God delivering us from our enemies and being good to us, but when it comes to God's word, confronting the way we do life, confronting the things we say, confronting the things that we do, we bristle. And we either completely reject God's kingship or we stomp off in dutiful submission, folding our arms. We might even nod our heads during a sermon. That's a good word, Pastor. But then walk out completely unchanged, completely unaffected by God's word. How do we fix this? What are we supposed to do? I've got some bad news for you. We can't fix it. No amount of soul searching, no amount of counseling can make our lack of submission just go away. Only beholding God rightly, seeing him rightly, can cure our submission issues. Psalm 145 helps us with this. It helps us to behold God as our King. And my hope this morning is that I can show you what kind of King God is. And I want to show you that we can joyfully submit to him. Why would we want to joyfully submit to God, our King? Number one, he's mighty. Number two, he's gentle. And number three, he's just. So first, God is a king we can joyfully submit to because he is mighty. Let's turn to Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. King David, the writer of this psalm, is using so many different ways to talk about the Lord here. His greatness, unsearchable. We can't wrap our minds around it. Look at these other ways in which he describes what God does. Mighty acts, glorious splendor in verse 5, wondrous works, awesome deeds, abundant goodness in verse 7. We even have mighty deeds in verse 12 if you jump forward a little bit. God, our King, is so great that even the descriptors seem endless. And so when this psalm was written, when people would read this song and sing it and pray it, They were looking back onto God's actions throughout all of redemptive history. They were looking back at God's resume. And take note here, his resume doesn't have reality TV celebrity on it or former Secretary of State. His resume has the creator of the world, the covenant maker between Abraham and all of Abraham's offspring that would bless the nations. On his resume, he has confronting Pharaoh and all the Egyptian gods with the plagues. He's got taking Israel out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. God has taken a no-name Middle Eastern people and established them as the nation of Israel. These are the awesome deeds on God's kingly resume. This is what God's people look to. So when we read this psalm, we have a much bigger swath of history to look at, much more scripture. Even in our individual lives, we can look at all the things that God has done. But the most important thing that we look back to is God's awesome act of redemption. God entering into human history, taking on the form of a man, Jesus, the Son of God, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is here, now, not later, now. And this gospel has been spreading for the last 2,000 years through various times, various places, different languages. And the fact that we're sitting right here this morning, singing about the Lord, proclaiming, hearing his word proclaimed, is evidence of God's might now. His wondrous acts now, and he's working right here in you. He's working in me. He's working among us. This is our mighty King. God is a King we can joyfully submit to because he's mighty. Secondly, God is a King that we can joyfully submit to because he is gentle. Pick it up in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. God, our King, is not like the other kings. He's not bombastic. He's not quick to say, off with their heads. But rather, he is gracious. He is merciful. He's abounding in steadfast love. God, our King, doesn't just say compassionate things to get the vote. He doesn't go to this group of people over here and say one thing to appease them and go to another group of people and say something completely different just to get them to like him. He is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. And we, his saints, God's people, can take his resume and proclaim it to the world because they see, look what the Lord has done. We proclaim it to everybody that we can. We proclaim it to our kids. And to their kids, and to their kids' kids. How amazing will it be in 100 years when our great-grandchildren are saying, hey, remember that story of great-grandpa told us about the gospel changing people's lives and all those churches were planted in Omaha? Do you remember that? We want our kids to look back to what God was doing here in 2016 in Cormdale Church and praise him for it. That's why we do what we do back in CD Kids, even though we don't have Cormdale Kids today. That's why we do what we do. That's why we tell our kids about the grace and mercy of God. Let's jump back into the middle of verse 13. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. There might be some of you here today that that feel like you're just done with life. You're just tired of trying to get through the day. Maybe there's a chronic illness inside of you. It's just too much to bear. You can't go on anymore. Or you're tired of watching loved ones just die of cancer or hear of friends struggling with that. God, our King, is gentle towards you. He loves you. Maybe you've made some bad decisions financially, and you're just reaping those benefits month to month. Just a constant reminder of the mistakes that you've made, living hand to mouth. God, our King, is patient with you. He cares for you. He won't turn you away and say, go get a job. Work harder. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and get yourself out of this mess that you got yourself into. Our God doesn't say that. His benefits are not funded by burdening you with the fee. He opens his hands in untethered benevolence, free. How is it free? We just sang about it. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. It was Jesus' death on the cross that makes us sons and daughters of the King. It's through him that we are heirs in the kingdom of God. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Some of us need to memorize that verse just to remind ourselves of that truth. I struggle with God's grace, understanding that, wrapping my mind around that, because when I look at my sin, it seems so much greater and deeper than anything God could handle. Why would he want to even handle a mess like me? Listen to what Charles Spurgeon says. God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow than to diminish the great mercy of God. It's humanly impossible for you to pull the plug on the ocean and just watch it drain. It's impossible for you to create a covering so big and so heat resistant that you could wash out the sun. It's just even more impossible for you to drain the ocean of God's grace or to cool the warmth of God's mercy. God's grace and mercy can never be diminished, not by sinners like you and not by sinners like me. So we can joyfully submit to him because he is mighty, because he is gentle, and finally because he is just. Verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. When we look at verse 18 here, we see again, in his gentleness, the King listens to us. He is kind to us. He is near to all who call on him in truth. Another way of saying this is that God is near to those who pray and mean it. True prayer is an act of submission, and when we submit to the King, he will be near you. He is near us. But the psalm also shows us that God is just. You cannot separate God's justice from his love. Like Pastor Justin preached last week, if God doesn't destroy evil, he's not good. Try putting that on a coffee cup and selling it. Psalm 145 makes us confront the fact that there's evil in the world. And it's not just out there, it's in here. It resides inside of us. Verses 19 and 20 show us that there are two kinds of people in the sight of God. Those who submit to him, those who love him, those who fear him, and those who reject his kingship, the wicked. And the day is coming when God, in all of his glory and all of his splendor, he will return to judge the living and the dead. He's coming. Not to judge us by our righteousness, but by his righteousness. And those who joyfully submit to the king, he will save. But those who reject his kingship, he will destroy. And this is not something that I say flippantly, nor do I take it lightly. This makes me tremble, and it causes me to fear. But not a dutiful fear. Not in a fear that says, okay, God, I'll do whatever you say. Just don't get angry. Don't send me to hell. I will obey. Okay. But this fear is better defined by reverence and respect. When I see the kind of king that God is, when I see his might, when I see how gentle he is, when I see his justice, all I have left to do is to revere and respect him. I want to joyfully submit to him. God is so great, all I want to do is obey him with every ounce of my being. It's hard to say sometimes. And we can't get God off our back by just doing the right things. That doesn't work. What God wants is a wholesale heart change. He wants us to joyfully submit all of our life to him. So, God is a king that we can joyfully submit to. Why? Because he is mighty, he is gentle, and he is just. Therefore, we can celebrate. Psalm 145 shows us the kind of king God is. When you look at his mightiness, his gentleness, his justice, isn't that better than anything you've ever experienced in the world, anyone you ever have known? Isn't it better than trying to be your own king, trying to set up your own kingdom by your own laws, your own rules, your own standards? God is not going to usher his kingdom with force and brutality. But rather, he's inviting us this morning. He's beckoning us. He's calling us into his kingdom. One day, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that God is king. But I tell you this very moment, you can submit to him now. You don't have to wait till then. You can forsake your wickedness. You could turn on your rebellion and joyfully submit to him today. Some of you here this morning would say, I don't have faith in God. You're skeptical of the Bible's claims about God. You're skeptical about the claims that God's people make about him. I want to say to you this morning, you don't have to poke holes in those claims anymore. You don't have to try to see through to find the truth, because the truth has been revealed to us. God has revealed to us, been revealed to us as our King. And you don't have to wrap your mind around him fully, because verse 3 told us that he's unsearchable. We can't do it. His praise and his understanding goes on and on and on and on forever. There's no way you can figure God out now before you submit to him. Submit to him today. Look to God. Behold him as your king. Christian, maybe some of you are just pledging allegiance to God, but you know in your heart there's a struggle. There's a struggle to joyfully submit. So all that you know is just put your head down and do the right thing. Just to find that sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes you find yourself frustrated and burnt out from just trying to do the right thing. You know what? God is the object of your faith, not yourself. Turn your eyes to the Lord. Lift your eyes off yourself, off your sin, off your failings, off your past, and behold him as your King. He has started a good work in you, and He will finish it. He's promised it in His Word. And you will make mistakes. You will. Just revert your gaze to Him. Behold Him as your King. Friends, I believe that we can all walk out of here different people this morning. We can all leave this place speaking the praise of the King and joyfully submitting to Him. And the good news for us on this weekend, while we're celebrating our independence as a nation, we can celebrate our individual dependence on the King. We can do that today. So let us be a people that leave here, like Psalm 145, enthusiastically praising God with our words, with our songs, with our lives. Let us leave here unashamed and sharing the gospel with our friends and family. Let us be a people that joyfully submit and celebrate that God is our King. Would you pray with me? My God and my King, don't let us leave here unchanged, lacking in submission, fighting for our own independence from your kingship. Help us look to the Word. Help us behold you and be completely overwhelmed by the kind of King that you are. Save us from ourselves. Keep us from getting distracted, from losing sight of you. May we daily, over and over and over again, just give our lives to you, and let us have our lives marked with joy, with the Spirit filling us, empowering us to joyfully submit to you as King. Pray these things in the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen.